Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
Bowtie steals a march. It goes a length in front of Guaranteed, who's slowly but surely bridging the gap. But Bowtie packing plenty, and Bowtie wins another Group 1 here at Menangle.
Now, on TAS Racing Talk, time to talk harness racing.
Harness racing meetings left, right and centre. They're coming from all directions. And to tell us all about it is the co-development manager for harness racing in Tasmania for TAS Racing, Kevin Nielsen. How are you, Kev?
Very well, thank you, Shane.
We've got an exciting time coming up. Burnie kicking off this week, King Island firing up, Launceston last Friday, and of course the big attraction for the whole week is Bowtie in the Miracle Mile on Saturday night.
He's on the cusp of achieving the status of the greatest ever out of Tasmania, I think, Shane, this weekend. We've seen a lot of reports on comparisons of Bowtie with Hal Wears with Golden Alley. I don't think anyone is saying he's not as good as them. Some are saying he's already better. He will leave no doubt in people's minds this weekend if he can make it back-to-back Miracle Miles. There's only ever been one other Tasmanian win this race since it commenced in 1967, and that was the great Hal Wears in 1968. And Bowtie's going to join a group of seven others that have won two Miracle Miles if he's successful on Saturday night, they being Village Kid, Westburn Grant, Choken, Holmes DG, Sokiola, Be Good Johnny, and the most recent, Smoking Up, in 2010-2011. He's already gone past Thorate as the highest stake earner earning Tasbred, $1.42 million. Thorate earned $1,329,000. Back we go to Sinbad Bay with $670,000. Village M, $588,000, and Chip and Gale, who did a lot of racing towards the end of her career in America, but she did amass $563,000.
Of course, we wish James Rattray all the best on Saturday night, and James was at his best on Devendra last week.
Yeah, he's doing a great job with many other horses. He's regularly going to Penrith. I think he got a double there a fortnight ago. And Devendra now, I think, has won 3 from 7 for James at Menangle, and he was doing that last Saturday night. He led throughout to win a heat of an M1 and better series, and the $50,000 final is on Saturday night. It's race two. He's drawn out wide in number 11, but I'm sure that he's going to be a leading contender in that race for Viv Clark, his owner from Youngstown in Tasmania, and he's now amassed career stake earnings of $157,000. And another Tasbred on the same program, in fact, it was part bred by Barry Rattray, being later on, race three, number 10. She's entered in a $50,000 mare's race, and I'm sure she'll fly the Tasmanian flag very well. And later on at the moment is right up with the best mares in Australia. And Zeke Slater, who currently sits second on the Tasmanian training premiership, took two to Melton last Friday night. He was successful with the first one, Giuliani, endured a death seat trip. It was still too strong in a $16,000 heat of an MO series and did qualify for the $25,000 final this Saturday night at Melton, where he's drawn number two, and his stablemate, Run Ripalong, endured a similar trip in the heat, in another heat, when he death-seated, but he wasn't quite as fortunate as Giuliani, only finished fifth, but that was enough to qualify him for the $25,000 final, the same one that Giuliani's in, and he will start beside Giuliani, so he's number three in race five at Melton on Saturday night. And Belicious Lips for Rodney Ashwood, and driven in Victoria by Alex Ashwood, continued her excellent Victorian form when she won her third mainland start from only 4 runs. But she's back at home on this Sunday night at Launceston when she races in the $10,000 Shirley Martin Mother of Pearl. That's race five where she's drawn number two. And Brian Mackerel and Marie Brewart are very happy with Party Boy Glenwood. He's won 2 and placed twice from only 5 Victorian starts, and he gets his chance in the big league at Melton on Saturday night. In race one, I think it is, Shane, where he's going around a $16,000 MO. Same race, Broadband is also going around.
Well, plenty of action there for us to keep an eye on the mainland. Of course, last Friday night, we had the big card at Launceston. 7 races there, and a couple of our younger drivers were to the fore.
Yeah, younger drivers being Mark Yole and Todd Rattray. They're both well on the lower side of 30, and they scored doubles on the 7-race card. Mark, of course, won with Jodilla, and also Saab Quality the Claimer, and Todd was successful with One More Laugh, and also Robert Moreau. couple of notes on those winners. Always a show. Very promising type for Craig Hayes. Now won 2 from 4. Was far too good for that field on Friday night. In the second, Robert Moreau was a good effort. He came off a solid 6th to Faithful Jet at his previous start and franked that form in the lower level C1 race. It was the first win for Robert Moreau in 11 starts since winning on King Island last February, on the 1st of February 2014. So it's good to see him break through. Hello, Good Shanks. Turning in a pretty handy pace of this 6-year-old for Melissa Main and Gareth Rattray. Won 3 of its last 4. And first time at the stand last Friday night, handled it with ease and was a strong winner there. One more laugh. Well, the boys, the Collins boys and also Peter Jones had a very pleasurable time watching One More Laugh race out of class and win the C1 race last Saturday night. And those boys do enjoy their racing, and they certainly enjoyed that win of One More Laugh last Friday night. And Katrina Hillier, what a smart owner. She claimed Tizu Tudor about 9 starts back out of a claimer in Tasmania, and her husband Rowan has trained and driven this horse, the 7-year-old, beautifully, and it's won 4 of its last 6 and been 2nd in the other 2. So a great advertisement for claiming horses out of claiming races in Tasmania.
And the way it won, that might win a few more as well, Kev.
It's in this weekend, Shane. I'm going through the papers here. I'm pretty sure it's drawn Barrier 1 somewhere. This might be Bernie on Friday night, but it's going around somewhere and looks another great chance to win this weekend, Shane.
And Nathan Ford, a winning treble in Hobart.
Yeah, Nathan was a star at Hobart. He's certainly going very well, Nathan. And he certainly won the last race with Dancing Da Vinci, a first starter for Christian Salter. And I understand Dancing Da Vinci is related to Rockbank Dancer, another horse that Christian's done very well with. He won earlier in the night with Saloon in Sight, and Nathan completed his treble with a horse that he trains, Original Art. So Nathan's been a leading participant in Tasmania for many years now, and he continues to be in that category, Shane.
Bernie Harness Racing kicks off on Friday night. It's a great club, and good to see them racing under lights at the Wivenhoe.
Yeah, they had a practice run under lights, of course, on May the 16th this year, towards the end of this season, last season, I should say. But their first full meeting under lights is at the showgrounds on Friday night. They've got a good 6-race card. They kick off about 6:47, the last at just after 9 o'clock, and there are a couple of mobile events, as is usually the case at Burnie.
And then on Sunday, we've got the Doug Martin and the Shirley Martin meeting coming up in Launceston, the Mother of Pearl in the Danbury Park Cup.
It's great to honour the memory of both Doug and Shirley, significant contributors to Tasmanian harness racing over their life. Unfortunately, neither of them are with us now, but they've been remembered by the Launceston Pacing Club by naming these two prestigious races after them, and a really good field in the Doug Martin Danbury Park Cup. The numbers for free-for-alls haven't been as high as what we would like in recent weeks, but they're certainly back on Sunday night. And coming off the 30-metre mark, got our chain of command off 20. Al Mills Dream, remember Joe, Quastar Centurion. But they're going to have their hands full trying to pick up horses on the 10-metre mark and front mark, including Star Chamber, Diva's Delight, Riverboat Jasper. Truly Blissful's back from the mainland campaign. And an inch of his life steps up from the lower class to the open class racing this weekend. It's a really good race, the Danby Park Cup, being race 6. And before that, race 5 is the Shirley Martin Mother of Pearl. 7 Handy Mares, Jadilla, Delicious Lips, LJ's Magic, Arts Bliss, Spring, Spitfire Rose, Tess and Zoe, and Benediction, who's returned from a long layoff, and we'll expect her to be improved by a first run back from the spell. So really good card at Launceston on Sunday night.
And the King Island program kicking off this weekend as well.
Yeah, the 7-meeting King Island season kicks off at Curry on Saturday afternoon. They'll have 2 harness events, and I think it's 5 gallop events. And their other meetings are, I think there's another one in a fortnight's time, then Boxing Day, New Year's Day, and another 3 in January to complete their 7-race season. And as we know, Shane, a lot of those harness horses that race on King Island then come back to Tasmania and compete very well. And the aforementioned Robert Moreau being an example.
Well, certainly plenty of action for us to keep an eye on around the states, on the island, and also on the big island at Menangle on Saturday night. We thank you for bringing you up to date with all the information there, Kevin. If you want more information on Tasmanian harness racing, where should we head?
Go to tasracing.com.au, and in the punter's corner section, Jamie Cockshut will have his harness form analysis up there for Burnie and Launceston. That will certainly be there by tomorrow night, by Thursday night. It may even be there earlier.
And of course, all the video replays, you can keep an eye on everything that's happening around the state, and we'll hear from you again next week.
Yeah, my pleasure, Shane.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
A couple of big meetings coming up around the state in the harness racing world, with Friday night in Burnie. Six races expected on the card there for nighttime racing under the lights. And, of course, in Launceston on Sunday night with eight races on the card. The field's well and truly out for that. And to tip us all the winners, Jamie Cockshutt. How are you, Jamie?
Yeah, good, Shane. How about yourself, mate?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Now, we've got the Shirley Martin Mother of Pearl, the feature of racing in Launceston on Sunday night. Only a field of seven, but crikey, there's some class in the race.
Yeah, very good field, Shane. I honestly think six of the seven can win it. The only one I don't think can win is Doe Diller. Saying that, it wouldn't surprise me if she did. Arts Bliss resumed last week in the free-for-all against Remember Joe. That one won, got a good run, but hit the line strongly to run second. You know, she's going to strip a lot fitter for that run. And if you just go back to Easter time, she won the Easter Cup heat pretty easily. She was very unlucky in the Easter Cup final and never really got a crack at them until late. She's going to be a lot fitter for last week's effort, mate, and you know, she's going to take a stack of beating. You've got Tess and Zoe, been racing free-for-all class, will really to drop back to Mears. LJ's Magic's been racing consistently. You've got Benediction, he's a classy mare. That's had one back from her long absence. You know, she's going to be fitter for her first up run and suited back in Mayor's company. You've got Spitfire Rose resuming, who's very handy in her own right, and Delicious Lips, who returns from a successful stint in Victoria, winning three out of her last four. So there's stock full of class. But I'm keen on four Arts Bliss to beat three LJ's Magic, six Tess and two Delicious Lips, and like I said, five and seven Spitfire Rose Benediction, not about some hope, mate.
12 in the next race, race number 6, one of the other features of the night. It's the Doug Martin Danbury Park Cup.
Yeah, very open race. Remember Joe resumed last week, as everyone would have seen, in brilliant fashion. But he's got to give him 20 metres tonight, which, you know, he's not going to find it easy. But he's the inform horse in the state at the moment. Before he went to Melbourne, he pushed Patrick Curdy to a, you know, short half head in the race, so... As long as he steps and don't find any trouble, he's going to take a stack of beating. Riverboat Jasper's on the same vote. You know, he's off 10 metres. Pretty well placed off 10, to be honest. But he needs to begin. He's very scratchy away. So, you know, punters will be hoping, have their heart in their mouth for the first, you know, 20 metres that he does step. If he does step, he's a huge danger. Star Chamber, he's different. He pings the tape. So he's going to lob in the first couple and he's going to get every chance. Our chain of command, he was very good last week. Off 30 metres. He's off 30 again tonight. If he can get the right round of the race, he's going to take plenty of holding out of the business in. Then you've got Thieves Delight, struggling a little bit at the moment, Thieves Delight. Like, he's a very good leader, and he races best in front, and I don't think he can find the front, so place looks best tonight for him. Then you've got an inch of his life going through the grades nicely. You know, good each way chance, more than place. You've got the former Easter Cup winner, Grizz Riley, resuming from a lengthy break. Just prefer to watch his time. And Sky Tower, who's been claimed into the league later stable, as we know, in the last couple of months, he claimed spot 9, and spot 9 is very competitive in our open class race. But keen on 10 Remember Joe to beat 5 Riverboat Jasper, 7 and 12, then All Star Chamber down chain of command, and an inch of his life can run a race at odds if he steps safely, mate. Number 2.
Now, race number 7 is the third leg. It's the Lou Raider Pace. Again, only a field of 5 with a scratching early one of 5 o'clock affair. Race 7, number 1. Field of 5, but again, a number of chances.
Yeah, very good race. 3 major chances. Rykov Lees, Milo Lynn and Clamorous. Rykov Lees, if he finds a lead, I think he'll be winning. But Milo Lynn's got a lot of gate speed as well, and the connections of Milo Lynn will be hoping to hold up, because that'll give Milo Lynn the best chance of winning as well. Clamorous, just a little bit disappointing the last couple of runs, where he might have needed them 2 runs for fitness side, and he's going to get the dream run on Sunday night, mate. And if he's the 2 favourite ones get in a war, mate, he'll go straight past him down the straight. And you've got Maybe Doc, you know, he's been racing against the free-for-all, and the claimer last week, you know, he'll be hitting the line strongly, so he's a chance for the trifectas as well. But I'm keen on 4 Rykov Lees from 2 and 3, Clamorous and Mellow Lynn, and Maybe Doc to fill the first 4 spot, mate.
2,200 metres, the journey of the last. It's at 9.18. Will be Doc going for back-to-back wins?
He draws well, Will be Doc, to not back-to-back wins, but keen on Real River. A month ago, he found the lead in a lot stronger race and copped plenty of pressure and knocked up, which he is entitled to do. This looks a lot easier. If he can zoom to the lead or just sit outside the leader and just rating from there, he can take plenty of beating. Vanderbilt will be fitter for his first up run a couple of weeks back, so he's going to be a danger. And like you said, Will Be Doc's drawn to perfection. He's going to get every chance. And even Deliver the Goods is drawn to get a good trip. So they wouldn't, they keen surprise it, you know, good eat by odds. But keen on four, Will River. From three, Vanderbilt. One and two, Will Be Doc and Deliver the Goods, mate, to fight out third spot.
So what's the game plan for the quaddy?
There's a good clash in race one between last season's leading two-year-old Philly Fuazia, who's drawn two, and Mr. Lennox, who's drawn four. That's going to be a, you know, a very good clash. A couple of the better bets of the night. I really like race three, number three, Livia de Gerolstein. Very well suited in this field, and you know, this looks a race. And race eight, number four, Real River. Pretty keen on him, mate. A couple of each way odds is race four, number one, Pacquiao. Done a pair of work last week, sitting parked, and battled away strongly to finish third. So he should be able to do enough to hold the lead, and if he does, he's going to take plenty of running gear. Arts Bliss in race five is going to get out to very good each way odds. And she's worth a good gamble. A couple of ones that I think will get out those double figure odds is Myco de Caspian race two. Even though he's the last start winner, I still think he'll go around at double figure odds tonight, and he can win again. And race six, Star Chamber. He'll be a double figure odds, mate, and with the right run, he'll take plenty of holding out in the Doug Martin Derby Park Cup, mate. For the quaddy, firstly, pretty open race. We'll go 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Secondly, we'll go numbers 4, 5, 7, 10, and 12. Third leg will go 2, 3, and 4. The last leg will go 3 and 4. A $45 flexi, mate, to give you 25% of the dividend.
Sounds like a great night of harness racing coming up. 8 events on the program. The first set down for decision at 5:53, and the last of 8 at 9:18. You've got all the tips on the program for all the other races on tasracing.com.au. And we thank you for your efforts again today, Jamie.
Yeah, I'd just like to wish Connections a bow tied. All the best in the Miracle Mile on Saturday night, mate. All of Tasmania will be cheering for him. And, God bless him. Hope he wins it. Goes back to back in the Miracle Mile.
Well, what do you think of the field now that you've brought up the subject? He's drawn three.
I honestly think there's going to be a lot of speed. They're not going to make it easy for him, mate. Easy on the Eyes got gate speed. Avanova's got gate speed in too. So they're going to kick up. And you've got 12 Stewie's Lombo will come across. But I think he'd be three wide for the first 400 metres, and if he can find the breeze, he'd be right, because he's going to have his main danger tracking him everywhere he goes, Chris and me. And last year, Chris and me was huge in the Miracle Mile. Bow Tide had the sit on him and beat him, so, but this year, Chris and me is going to have the sit on Bow Tide. Whether he can beat Bow Tide is another thing, but yeah, James would be very wary of Chris and me stalking him everywhere he goes, mate.
Well, he drove to perfection in the two big races last year, didn't he? Really, bow-tied in the Miracle Mile, then really topped it off with the Inter-Dominion drive. Pressure's going to be on him this time on the odds-on favourite.
I'm sure he's up to it, mate. I'm sure he is.
Well, I'm sure he is too. We'll all have our fingers crossed for the champ at the weekend. Thanks again, Jamie.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Taz Racing contributes to the production costs of Taz Racing Talk.
Well, he days out now from the defence of the Miracle Mile crown for Bow Tide and James Rattray. And James has been kind enough to take time out of a busy schedule to join us today on Taz Racing Talk. How are the nerves, James?
Yeah, not too bad so far, thanks.
Well, the countdown's well and truly on. Only a few days to go now. What's Bow Tide's preparation been compared with last year?
Yeah, no, we've had a good preparation. The last month's been really good. His two previous runs have been good. He's done a bit of work and finished off great. Come out of each run well. He's trained on well this week, and he goes into the retention barn tomorrow night.
So his last two wins, particularly the last one, did plenty of work in that race without cover and then set outside the leader. He was entitled to get a little weary over the concluding stages, but he really hit the line hard.
Yeah, he was pretty ready to go, and he showed that. He hit the line really hard, and it was a really good effort to hold out guaranteed.
Now, he's drawn three in the final. Is that an ideal draw for you?
Yeah, it's a good draw. Ideally, you want to draw in the first four or five. Don't want to draw too wide over the mile. With a fair bit of gate speed in there, but you shouldn't be too far off the pace.
And how do you see the race panning out? What's the plan going in? Obviously, last year you sat three back on the pegs. I wouldn't imagine you'd be planning that this year.
No, probably not. he'll be in, probably be in behind the a couple of fast beginners there. He'll come out a bit and just see how everyone else comes out, really. More than likely, you'll be just off the pace there.
Now, the confidence of winning last year's Miracle Mile and then going on to win the Inter-Dominion as a trainer driver, how much confidence has that given you going into this race on Saturday night?
Yeah, I think the horse will, you know, I think I got him spot on. I couldn't have him any better. He'll run a good race no matter what. There's some good horses in there, and always need a bit of racing luck, and hopefully we'll be in the finish.
And what's the feeling like for yourself going around against the likes of Gavin Lang and the best drivers of Australia and New Zealand?
Yeah, just to compete in these Grand Circuit races, it's unbelievable, all the hype about them, and it's something you dream of growing up. Having a horse good enough to train in it or even drive in it, it's a pretty special feeling.
And given the fact that it's owned by the family as well, must just give it that little bit extra.
Yeah, for sure. Bred down home and, from a few generations back. So, it's very special.
Now, I spoke to your father, Barry, a fortnight ago. Of course, himself a champion trainer and reinsman for many years now, and obviously in the breeding game as well. And he mentioned to us that it was a dream that he had to be involved with the Inter-Dominion Miracle Mile winner back when he was just 7 or 8 years of age. How far did the dream go back for you?
Yeah, that's it. Like, growing up, you always watch the bigger races and you always watch the lead-up races. All the great horses, you like to watch them. And, I guess for me, for a pretty young age as author.
Now, of course, your grandfather, Wayne, was another champion of the game. Your father, your brother, Gareth, in particular, being the leading reinsman in Tassie for many years. And, of course, Todd coming through the ranks now. What was behind the decision of yourself to leave home and branch out, travel around the world?
I've always been keen to travel around and see new things and see how everyone does everything. Spent a couple of years in New Zealand and I come home for a bit and then went to America. I just like seeing what everyone does and what people do different.
And of course, we all know, everyone who's followed your father's career know that he made a very good choice with your mother, Denise. He's always making firm mention of that at any presentations he's at, whether that's just to get another meal the next day or not, I'm not sure. But it would appear that you've made a very good choice as well.
she does a lot with the horses. She takes care of Bo. She's a very good horsewoman.
Now, you've made your home at the moment in New South Wales. What's the short to medium-term plan? Are you planning on staying there for quite some time?
The plan is after Miracle Mile, head to Melbourne for a couple of months. There's a few country cups down there. And the big one is the Victoria Cup, end of January. And then head back up to Sydney for the Inter-Dominion Heats in middle of February.
It looks like you're going to be pretty busy over the Christmas New Year break, that's for sure. And you've also got another top-notcher from the stable engaged on Saturday night, Devendra, going around in Group 2 company. How's he going at the moment?
Since he's come up, he's done really well. He's won a couple of Metro races. He won in 52 a few weeks back, and he led and did a bit of work last Saturday night and was able to hold on. He's come along really well. He loves the Menangle racing. He's got high speed and he's pretty strong. So he's got a ordinary draw Saturday night, but it's over a bit of distance this week, so it won't be so bad.
And heading back to the Miracle Mile just briefly again, who do you see as the main dangers on Saturday?
Probably Chris and me, Guaranteed and For a Reason. They'll be looking to get into the race probably halfway, and a couple of the Tritton runners and Avanova, they'll be going forward early, and just depends how the race plans out. They'll all be hard to beat.
Well, you drove Bowtie to Treat last year in the Miracle Mile and the Inter-Dominion. You'll have to have eyes in the back of your head on Saturday night because the moves will be coming thick and fast, but all of Tasmania will be there to support you, no doubt. Obviously, the family will be trackside again. Barry will be home preparing a speech as we speak at the moment, but all of Tassie will be in the sulky there with you on Saturday night. Hope it's not too heavy for you, and we'll be keeping our fingers crossed that you can get home on the champion Bowtie again, and thanks for your making yourself available today, James.
All right, thanks very much.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.